And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew chapter 26, verses 40 through 41. Hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Monday night prayer time. Actually, it's a combination tonight. We have Pastor Fred Beatman in the first hour, and then we have Watch and Pray in the second hour. And the Watch and Pray just goes along with the time that we have left and all. So I'm always glad when. Oh, and this is Communion night. Hello, Pastor Fred.
Hello, John.
Yes, there? Pastor Fred.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. I called and left a message today. Did you get it about communion tonight?
Well, I figured that's what you wanted, so I did prepare, even though
good.
I didn't see your message.
Good. Good. All right. So we can do with the communion anytime you want. You can speak first, and then communion or communion first, whichever you would like.
Yeah, we'll do communion first.
Okay. And how have you been?
Good. good. The Lord is good. I mean, we have our ups and downs, and He gives us strength for the day. It's wonderful. And you?
Okay. Let me open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for today. We thank You, Lord, that we can all come together and we can have communion as directed by the Scriptures, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. Bless Pastor Fred, Lord. Bless him for the time he takes to come here. And I thank You for everyone that is here. And whatever we do is always under the blood of the everlasting covenant that You made with us on Calvary. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Pastor Fred.
All righty. Well, we start off with your favorite verse, Zechariah 13:1.
Oh, there you go.
This is a promise made to Israel. And yeah, we got it early, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
We got it early. And why? Why were we so privileged? That's our question. What was the reason for the Lord giving to us? Okay, Zechariah 13:1. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David for sin and uncleanness. There it is. And we were given we find in 1 Peter 18-20. Let's look at it. 1 Peter 18-20. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the opportunity to come before You. We do not discount or denigrate the very fact that You have called us to Your table, which is the most important thing, perhaps the most important thing that any of us could do in life. Help us to see and understand and know that. The privileged position You have placed us in. We don't deserve it. We wonder why You love us so much, why You opened a fountain for us individually, for our families, for our church, for the body of Christ. Why? You love us so much. We'll never know, Lord, but we just want to be able to love You back. And as we read in 1 Peter 1:18-19, we thank You, Father, for as much as You know that You were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from Your vain conversation received by tradition from Your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. Remember, we just read, fountain opened up for Israel, and it said that in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David for sin and uncleanness. He's opened that fountain to you if you have called upon His name, repented, and come before Him. But let me continue. Wasn't received by traditions from your fathers in 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, but, verse 19, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. And so we always recognize that, Lord Jesus. Are You a spotless Son of God, the Lamb without spot? Verse 20 of 1 Peter 1, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. So, Father, You and the Son had already planned this before the world was created, or before the foundation of the world was put in place. You had a plan. You had a plan to love us. And again, we do not understand why Your plan included us. But we're ever so grateful. Us means those who are come under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as His own children. Let's finish reading it. Who verily was foreordained Jesus was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. So he was manifest 2,000 years ago, and those 2,000 years that we've lived in and living in now are the last days. And he was made manifest, was shown to the world, presented to the world. And how many have accepted him, we don't know. And so that's to that end we pray and we give our testimony and give out brochures and witness and testify and go into all the world. But was manifest in these last times for you. Now, even further than that, with the blood that he shed for us, even further, I want you to come with me to Revelation 1:5, which John always goes to. And I love that verse, that part of the verse that says, unto him, talking about Jesus, the prince of the kings of the earth, Revelation 1:5, middle of the verse, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Blood that was holy, blood that was perfect, washed us in his sin, in washed us. Let me read it again. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Lord Jesus, we come to your table asking forgiveness for our sins, seeking to understand fully. How dare we come for you unless you have washed us from our sins with your own blood. And this plan was worked out before the foundation of the world. Why are we such blessed children of yours? Why have we not made vows to follow you to the end? Why have we not done more for you? Because when we know and we look you in the face, we'll wish we have given you more. So Lord, we thank you for this. We thank you for this table that you bring us to. It's a simple table, Lord. It's not complicated. It doesn't require us to cut the throat of a lamb. And I could never understand how you had taught those millions that were in Egypt, living there 430 years, from when they grew from 70 to whatever it was, millions, how they lived in a pagan society. And 10 of those plagues were all demonic frog type things. Even the weather, the sickness of the animals, the darkness, everything. They lived amongst that. And you told them, I don't understand whether you had a lot of your own prophets and priests and leaders and princes talking about, but how they ever learned to cut the neck of that lamb, to obey you, and to hide in their homes after having to place the blood on the lintel. They had to be pretty motivated, Lord. We want to be motivated too in what you've given to us, in the freedom that you've given to us, the freedom to serve, freedom to witness, freedom to proclaim that the gospel, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, cleanses from all sin. We thank you, Father. And so we come before you and thank you that you've called us together to break bread, Lord. You said, this is my body, which is broken for you. So we take the bread and we break it. It actually comes in two pieces. Your body was broken for us, the reminder to us of the pain and the suffering. And you told us, Lord, you want us to remember you for that. We don't remember any other death, Lord, because for us, who are your children, we have no death. For you said that whosoever believeth and liveth in me shall never die. So we don't have to worry about death or funerals or anything like that. But we do have to worry about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's something you've asked us to celebrate. So if we've celebrated other deaths, we're asking forgiveness, Lord. We just want to celebrate that one death that you ask us to remember. And that is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ for our sins. And so we remember it now, and we take the bread, every one of us, and thank you that you've cleansed us from sin. You've brought us to the table. And now we eat the bread together as a sign of unity in Jesus' name. So let's eat the bread. And a further reminder that the blood that we're going to recognize, the covenant in the cup, the little cup of wine, cup of grape juice, we come before you understanding that this is far better than silver and gold or any kind of tradition. This is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, all prepared before the foundation of the world, and then shown, revealed to us, privileged people that we are, in these last times. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you that you loved us and washed us from our sins in your own blood. And that this cup that we celebrate is a cup of blessing, a new covenant, an understanding of a new walk with the Lord Jesus. And Lord, show us how to walk again, day by day. Show us how to walk anew, even as you told them when you saved those 3,000. Peter was preaching, and he said about them receiving washing, baptizing themselves, repenting to the Lord, baptizing, and then receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the next thing was a time of refreshing from the Lord. That's what we want, Lord. That's what we're looking for, a time of refreshing every time we come to your table, because we know how important it is, how great it is to be able to come to your table, and how often we receive that refreshing from you, as if it were new oil you poured upon us, a new wine you give to us, new bread you give to us. Thank you, Father. And so we thank you for having washed us. Thank you for the remission of sins. Thank you for the new covenant that you give to us. And so now we drink together this cup that Jesus wants us to drink together, to remember him, but also to realize that we're not going to see him again until, and he has to say this first. What's he going to say first to us? Well, the Jews, God's people, the ones to whom you opened the fountain of Zechariah 13:1. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They've got to say that first before we ever see you coming back. We thank you, Father. Thank you, God. You've got God plans. You've got ordinances. You've got your word. You have your time. And you have the promises that you've given to us. Thank you. And so we drink the cup in the name of Jesus all together. Amen. John, would you close in prayer?
Lord, we thank you for the covenant that you made with us. And that covenant was made on the cross on Calvary. Your body was broken, as the scripture says, and you shed your blood. And that because of your body became sin, and your shed blood paid the penalty for sin, we can have eternal life. And we're not to forget this, Lord. We're to do this and to keep this fresh. It's the renewing of the covenant that you made with us on Calvary. So we thank you for what you did. And you bought us from sin, Lord, with your shed blood. That was the price that was paid. So we thank you and praise you now in Jesus' wonderful, matchless, holy, awesome name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, John. Now, a quick look at the scriptures. The question that I had was, what's the difference between a temptation and a trial? And I came up with nothing set in stone, but they are mixed to a lot of people. But temptations, as we see in 1 Corinthians 10:14, 1 to 14, come from outside of us, causing us to be weak in the faith. Trials come from God, from life, from things, from circumstances, causing us to be strong. There's a difference. So let's look at the first part of it. The temptations actually come to everybody, but most temptations, I would dare suggest, they come from the enemy. We pray, lead us not into temptation. God doesn't tempt no man. God does not tempt anybody. But here we have an understanding of a story in the Old Testament in 1 Corinthians 10, when he's talking about the Israelites in the wilderness. Now and we'll read it, and we'll try to answer the question, temptations or tests, which one is it? So let's look at it here. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye would be ignorant how that all our fathers, talking about Israel, were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Talking about when they came out of Egypt and were rescued and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Talking about all of them, every one of them, received the same spiritual blessing. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink, notice all the alls, drink the same spiritual drink. Now, why did he go through each one of these things individually? He's trying to make a point, Paul is, that every one of them received the same promises and were part of the same crew, as it were, part of the same nation. And so let's keep reading 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4. They drank the same spiritual drink, and they drank out of the spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. Well, that's explaining to us something that we would never have read in the Old Testament necessarily, other than if we saw theophanies. But it's a powerful statement, but it has a lot of meaning. But well, let's just leave it there. So they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Try and compare it with the Christians today. Verse 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, we talked about them being in Egypt for 430 years amongst all kinds of idols, amongst all kinds of things, and whatever affected them culturally and spiritually, even though we just read all the spiritual things that they were able to experience. But what happened was that they went from 70 to millions in 400 years. And those people, as they came out of Egypt, or even before, well, it says so in Ezekiel 20, 7 to 11, were recognizing that they had been 430 years in idolatry, from 70 people to millions. All they knew was idols and false gods. We don't read of anything happening other than we see people like Moses in the bulrushes. We see godly people doing godly things. But there was something happening that we don't sense. And that's why I was asking the question, and during communion, why were they so pliable in being a lamb, bringing a lamb and cutting its throat and putting the blood on the doorposts? Or was it brand new for them, or was it something they knew about? Well, they're talking about the spiritual rock was Christ. And this was long before the law was given. But what the Lord told them in Ezekiel 27 to 11, he said they were asked by God and the heads of the tribes to cast away or to be delivered from their false gods in Egypt. You know that? God, before they left the country and after they left the country, in Ezekiel 20, verse 7 to 11, they were asked by God and the heads of their tribes to cast away and to be delivered. In other words, they needed deliverance from their idols, so their false gods. What were some of their false gods? The frogs, the flies, the dust, the lice, sickness, boils, blains, fire, hail, locusts, darkness. Now you might say, well, none of these things were demonic, evil things. Well, I don't know. I don't know what to. All I know is that we're told that all these were direct confrontations to Egyptian gods. So these were idols. Even the darkness and the hail and the fire at the same time. Water turning into blood. The things that they saw with Moses' rod, eating up the rods, the snakes that the sorcerers could make out of their rods, with his rod eating them up. So they did see some spiritual things. What we fail to understand and clearly take is that the Bible clearly calls all these phenomena as false gods, idols. Now, were these trials or tests or temptations? These were their fears, things they worshipped, they left offerings to and for, and kept them away, to keep them away from their own bad spirits. So there were clearly trials or I don't know, temptations from God and not from temptations to sin. I don't know. I'm not sure. All I'm asking us to see is the difference between trials and temptations. And let's go on now with the scripture so we can get the thing settled. Verse 5, 1 Corinthians 10. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these were all the people that were under the rock of Christ, all the people that were baptized, all the people were under the cloud and in the sea, all the people that ate the same spiritual meat, and all the people that drank the same spiritual drink. And I know that there's most people, many Christians, who hold on to the idea that once saved, always saved. But I don't, and I believe that, but I also don't believe it. Because I read here, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, I'm not about to argue. If you get mad about it, that's okay. That shows exactly what your spirit is and that you have a problem there. Now, these things were our examples. Now, I didn't make the examples up, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things. So these are temptations, lusting after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. They were party people. They loved to be promiscuous, get drunk, and sleep with each other's wives. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 320,000. Now, you can go back and find out what happened there, but fornication is any kind of sexual uncleanness. It can be homosexuality or LGBT, mixed marriage, marriage to men, marriage to women. These are things that are directly opposed to the creation that God gave us. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur, as some of them murmured. How many of us complain as Christians? And were destroyed of the destroyer. You better not keep murmuring if you're a murmurer, complainer, someone who, because what happened to them, they were destroyed. So anyone who was idolatrous, lusting after evil things, things we shouldn't lust after, a lot of us have this, the devil tries to give to us every idea of certainly times in our life where we say, well, I must have that. I must have that. I must have that, whether it's something personal or whether it's something sexual or whether it's something monetary or something like that. And we just don't, we're kind of focused on it and we're not able to give up on it and we've got to have it. And that should tell you that you're being tempted of the devil and that wants to weaken you. So all these temptations to them came from the enemy, the devil. Doesn't come from the Lord. Let's keep going. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them were tempted also, and were destroyed. Neither murmur ye, as some of them that also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for our examples. You saw that twice. We're told, verse 6, now these were our examples. Now, I didn't make up those examples. This is Paul giving us these examples in Scripture of what actually happened. Now, in verse 11 again, now all these things happened unto them for our examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Why would they want to give to us admission? Admonition. Why would they have to give us a severe warning that these temptations that come from either inside us or from out from the devil that we have in order to weaken our faith and take us away from the Lord and from God? Then it says, verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So we're not to be too cocky about the fact that, well, I'm okay. You're okay. I have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is nothing wrong. It's good to have repented and to follow the Lord Jesus, to read the Bible and to pray and to seek his face. But if pride comes in there and makes you think that I'm standing on what I think, let him that thinketh he standeth. We must stand on the Scriptures, not on thinking of where we're standing, and take heed lest he fall, because pride brings a fall. None of us would admit to a pride, thinking that we know more of the Scriptures than others do, or that we're able to do more work for others than, no, that we're never told to think of ourselves more highly of ourselves than from others. And this is the important verse now. There hath no temptation. This is verse 13, 1 Corinthians 10. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. So every one of us receives temptation. And that temptation doesn't come from God. It comes from the devil, or it comes from inside of us with our own lusts. Let's read it again. There's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. So that's why we pray, deliver us from temptation. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, and then he goes straight to the crux of the matter. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Why would he tell Christians to flee from idolatry? Because they need to do that. Because they need to do that. So whether I'm making a point here on temptations, we'll get to trials in a moment. But we have a Christian life where we're looking for faith that is pure and strong. Trials are tests that are intended to refine our character, faith, and holiness. That's trials and not temptation. Temptations are the enticement to sin. There's the difference. One thing is a test intended to refine and strengthen our character and faith and holiness. A temptation is the enticement to sin. It's to weaken us. It arises from desires that are provoked. And it can come in from outer circumstances. Satan tempts in order that he may undermine. God brings trials in order that he may refine. So our victory comes through holding fast to the promises of Scripture and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we encounter temptations, we respond like Jesus did. We say, it is written. Remember in the wilderness, it's all he said. It's the only way he had answered Satan. Believers hold fast to the promises of God, and to endure and remain faithful reveals a genuine salvation. The key distinction between trials and temptations is the source and intent. God allows trials to strengthen you. Now, none of us like trials. We all get temptations. We all get trials. Temptations are common to man, Bible says, but they don't come from heaven. They come from our sinful desires and from Satan, because he's seeking whom he may devour. He is the thief that comes to rob and steal and kill. Let me read that again. The key distinction between trials and temptations is the source and intent. God allows trials to strengthen you, while temptations are designed to weaken you. Trials are difficult circumstances that test faith in order to build up spiritual maturity and the ability to keep at it and never give up. Trials come to make you stronger. Every temptation tries to make you weaker. Behind a temptation is a problem. Overcoming temptation is power. Is a reward. If you keep overcoming, you keep growing. Now come with me to look at trials. And this was in John 11. John 11, well-known scripture. And it's faith, two different kinds of faith, John 11. You know the story. Story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. He's sick. And Jesus takes his time because he has a word of knowledge. Now, a word of knowledge, I just taught on it last Thursday in my Bible study. Word of knowledge is something extra biblical that the Holy Spirit gives you. Sometimes when you pray with a person, it's completely, there is no Bible and verse given to you necessarily. It's the experience of that person that only they know. And there's different words of knowledge. People pull people out of the church services and pray for them and lay hands on them when they've been called to service for the Lord Jesus. But there's also my question to you is, you who don't believe in the gifts, what Bible verse in the Old Testament did Jesus refer to when he sat at Samaria in front of the woman at the well, at Jacob's well, and said to her, you've had six husbands, and the husband that you're with now is not your husband. What Bible verse did he get that from the Old Testament? He didn't. He got a word of knowledge from his father. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit give to us understanding in prayer. And it's not a big deal. You don't have to want the word of knowledge if you don't believe in those things. I got people in my church who don't believe in these things. And I can't convince them of otherwise other than ask the Lord to help them. Now I'm looking at John 11. A certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet. That's his sister. Therefore, his brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, him whom thou lovest is sick. Now, Jesus had been all over the place. He'd healed this 12-year-old girl who was supposed to be dead. He stopped a funeral procession, raised a man. He healed a Roman soldier's servant. He'd done all kinds of things, and they knew what he was like. But we're going to look at a couple of things that show us how trials, this is not a temptation of the devil. This is a trial of your test of your faith. What kind of faith do you have? And the very first thing was, wouldn't this man have kept him from dying? Well, they all knew that. They all knew that. Very first, well, Jesus had a word of knowledge. Jesus said, waited 2 days, and then said in verse 11 of chapter 11 of John, these things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of a sleep. Now his disciples didn't know what he was talking about. They were thinking in the natural all the time, that it was just a natural thing, that, oh yeah, if he's asleep, well, that's great. That's what they said. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest. Then Jesus said in verse 15, I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. What's he trying to do? He's trying to the intent that you may believe. And these people he loved. He loved Mary and he loved Martha. He loved Lazarus and he loved his disciples. And he's telling his disciples, there's this test we're going to go through right now, and you're going to see some things here. And so when Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, verse 20, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Martha said unto him, Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. Well, what do you call that? What do you call that?
Faith.
You call that limited faith. It's not faith. She believed in a limited way that Jesus could heal, but she didn't believe that he could raise the dead. It's obvious. She believed that, Lord, if you had been here, and a lot of us have an if faith, a faith that says, oh, if only God had been here. Her limited faith restricted the power of Christ. Matthew 13:58. Remember in his own church where he was in Nazareth? Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Limited faith is controlled by circumstances and motivations of fear and failure. The first thing out of her mouth wasn't, oh, I'm glad you're here. And she's not thinking of anyone being raised from the dead here. And the disciples aren't either. But where is this coming from? This is a trial. This is a test to see where their faith is. It's to strengthen their faith. Martha's faith was orthodox, if we keep reading it. She declared her knowledge of the Bible, just like every one of them did. Let's read that part. I hope I'm not stepping over anyone's toes here. I know even now whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it to you. She's not believing that he's going to raise from the dead. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And now Mary takes her scripture, what she knows of scripture, and she says, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, and this is the point, the whole point of what Jesus was trying to get to in giving them that trial. The trial was, he hung back for 2 days. He didn't go there until the man was buried. And there was something to be learned to strengthen their faith, but also to bring out their faith, to bring out the kind of faith that they had. And I'm not, I wouldn't dare say I had less faith than these people here. But Martha's faith was orthodox. She declared her faith in Scripture that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. This confession was not enough here with Jesus, Son of the Living God, standing right in front of her, stating, I am the resurrection and the life. That was the whole point of this exercise, this trial. And he asked her, do you believe this? Martha avoided the question, hanging onto her creed. Faith must go beyond our creed. So Jesus wept. I believe one of the reasons, and I don't know these things, and I'm not a preacher, I believe he wept because nobody believed him. These were his friends. These were his disciples. These were some of his closest acquaintances. And they were so stuck in, he says, I am the resurrection. He's told them that. And then he weeps. And when it came to raising Lazarus and found limited fundamental faith only, at last, unlimited faith came to Martha when she consented to roll away the stone in spite of her objections that he stinks. Jesus wanted him to roll away the stone. He'd been dead for 4 days. Nobody believed that Jesus could raise him from the dead. Now, Jesus challenging her to believe says, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And we've all got to get to that point, that to the point where we believe, to the point where we see the glory of God. I pray for that for myself and for everyone else. Look for unlimited faith that pleases God and reveals his glory. So what happens? And this is an important part of the scripture. Jesus said unto her, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So death is a test. Death is a test. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me. I had never taken that to understand as I do now as I'm preaching this. Whosoever liveth and believeth. Too many Christians believe, but few live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she said unto him, yes, Lord, I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, which should come into the world. Now, I don't think she was able to say that in her anguish and agony and saying, well, why did Jesus wait 2 days? We had to go through the whole burial stuff, and he wasn't even here for the funeral. And can you imagine all these things were being said in the carnal, in the natural? And there must have been a lot of questions, and all the people said, couldn't this man have kept him from dying? Well, no matter what Jesus does, he's in trouble. Whoever lives and liveth and believeth in me shall never die. There's two things there. I know that we have to believe that he is the author of life and death, but we also have to live in him. Just like those in the wilderness became examples of listening to temptations of the devil and not believing, having received all those spiritual things that they received. Jesus said unto them, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Some of them, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead for 4 days. So they've been going through a funeral for 4 days, stewing all over the fact that their best friend, the Son of the living God, whom they know can heal people, they've seen him heal people. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, that thou shouldst see the glory of God? See, he's taking us to new levels all the time. The Lord Jesus comes to us, and we go through these trials, and we go through these physical things, we go through these cancers, we go through these sicknesses, we go through this poverty, we go through this prosperity, we go through good and bad trials, many different kinds of trials. They're all meant to make us strong, strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. They took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that you heard me, and I knew that you hear me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe. See, he's always working on our faith, even as he's talking to his Father. I want them to believe, Father, that thou hast sent me. He's still doing what he's always been doing, and that is proclaiming himself to be the Son of the living God. He that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a white napkin, with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things. A trial, folks, a trial. The trial was that Jesus wanted to bring out the fact that, first of all, had you been here, this never would have happened. Secondly, I know my scriptures, and I know I can explain to you that Jesus had come there to tell her that he was the resurrection. He was it. More than your faith and my faith wavering, more than us quoting the word, Jesus would have us come to him as the I am, the resurrection. He's the most important one in our lives and that we could ever, ever confront. And then he says, didn't I tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? What was the glory of God? The glory of God was overcoming death and living forever. That's why we should never have anything to do with death. We should have never have, as Christians, have to worry about funerals and people dying, those who love the Lord Jesus, because they never die. Because he just told us that. He taught us that. Look for unlimited faith that pleases God and reveals his glory. 1 Peter 1:7-9 is an excellent, the trial of your faith. But then 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Temptations come from within ourselves and with the devil. And we pray, deliver us from evil. Deliver us not into temptation. We know that temptation comes to every one of us. We all get tempted all different ways. Tempted not to be nice to people, not to be nice to those closest to us, not to defer to what they want and where they want to go or what they want to do because of the relationship that we have with them, and we built up these angers over the years against our loved ones. But he says, the Lord knows how to deliver us, the godly, out of temptation. That's the beautiful thing. But the Lord knows also how to strengthen us in trials. So don't knock back trials. Understand the difference between a trial and a temptation. I'm not saying that I've given you the only way of trials and temptations. All I'm saying, in a general sense, all temptations come from within us or from Satan. All trials, and they're meant to weaken us, weaken our faith, take away that which we already have, to steal and to destroy things from us. Whereas trials and tests come from God and from circumstances in life in order to strengthen us and give to us something we could never get any other way. That's why many of us, we don't like trials, we don't like tests, but they come. They don't make us angry, but they do sometimes wear us down. But God is good. He knows how to deliver us out of trials and temptations, but he also makes us stronger in our faith. And that's the beautiful part of it. Thank you, Lord, for your word. In Jesus' precious name, I thank you. Amen. Thank you, John.
Well, thank you, Pastor Fred. You gave us a full course meal tonight, Pastor Fred. It was, thank you. All I could say is thank you very much. John 11 was superb. Thank you. Thank you very much, Pastor Fred. Thank you.
All right. Lord bless. Lord bless.
How can we pray for you?
Well, thank you. Thank the Lord for what he's doing. And for the tests that we're going through, and then strengthening us and giving to us what we need for the journey, both for my daughters and my son and the whole family. And for Lydia, too, who's going through a tough time. She had food poisoning the other day and all of a sudden broken out in all these bad itches that won't go away. But for me, we're still able to function and ask the Lord for strength and ability to keep walking so that I can get some exercise with this knee.
Okay.
Thank you so much for your prayers.
Yeah, well, we're going to pray for you now. But is that knee better, Pastor Fred?
The knee is still very swollen, as much as it was when I ran over it. It needs exercise. That's what it needs, I think, to get circulation. But just keep praying. I took all the vitamin E you told me to.
Okay.
So I didn't dare not take less, exactly as doctor suggested.
Well, is the color of your leg better? Is the color better?
I can't tell the color yet. I've tried to look and see. Yes and no. Don't know. A few more. Give me a little more. I've only had it for, 5 days, the vitamin E.
All right. Well, Father, we have Pastor Fred before you. And, Lord, there's several things we'd like to pray for him. Number one, Lord, we were asking for the swelling to go down in his knee and any discoloration in the lower part of the leg would clear up, Lord. That he'd be able to walk with some exercise on it, Lord.
and that knee there could be restored. So that's what we're asking, Father, in Jesus' name. So thank you that we can come before you, excuse me, and pray for needs like this, Lord, that knee will respond in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And we pray for Lydia, Lord. We thank you. She's over that food poisoning, friend?
Well, the itches, that's all. Yeah. Okay. That's all over her body, really serious.
All right. Lord, we thank you that there was no hospitalization or anything like that with the food poisoning. So she had a touch of food poisoning, and her system is reacting to it. So we ask that she clear up all of the boils, I guess you could call them, would clear up and quickly, Lord. Thank you. Lord, we are asking that for the rest of his family, Lord. Kate, Lord. Kate, we're praying for her. We're praying for her complete health, Lord. We're praying for her the restoration. And you've done amazing things so far with her, Lord, but we want to go over that final hurdle where she'll be, cancer will shrink and go away, and she'll be able to be free, Lord. But thank you for what you've done so far with her, Lord, and all her other, trials that take place in the family. We pray that they'll overcome all of them, and they're going to grow stronger in you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Bless Fred's coming and going, Lord. Bless his barns. Bless his barns, as it says in Proverbs, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Fred, is there anything else? Did I miss anything?
No. We enjoy your prayers, and thank you so much.
Okay. So bless him and everything he does, Lord, and we appreciate every one of us. Appreciate his the time he puts in and his teaching here, Lord. It truly is a great blessing. And the people in this church must be greatly blessed. Well, some of them, Pastor Fred. I think you have some hardcore there, right?
Yes. Yeah, but they still appreciate me anyway.
They do.
Yes,
okay.
I wonder why.
Oh, Lord. We pray he's a great blessing to everyone in the church now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.
I've preached in your church, Pastor Fred.
Yes, you have, haven't you? But
yeah, a couple times.
The numbers have gone up.
A couple times, I remember.
Yeah, yeah.
You had a real nice pulpit there, right? A nice wooden pulpit.
But right
in front of the pulpit down there in the middle of the aisle, you had a big, like a heater system, didn't you? You know, a grate in the aisle there?
Yeah, in the middle of the aisle, yeah.
Yeah.
It threw the air in. This 100-year-old church, you know.
Right, right, right. I remember that, yeah. Okay, Pastor Fred, thank you very much.
Thank you again.
God bless you.
The opportunity. Lord bless.
Okay. All right. All right, Sister Sharon. Any
yes.
Any comments?
Well, I really enjoyed listening to Pastor Fred tonight. I always enjoy listening to him. And I'm just very grateful to be able to hear him and to hear what he had to say and about the word, about God's word, and just how, that we all, you know, we all get our word from Jesus, and Jesus is, you know, here for us all, and it's just amazing to listen to him.
Okay. All right. All right. I've been going over John chapter 4. I've been going back to the beginning and reading the whole chapter and going over it and doing some more studying.
Okay.
So I think I was greatly blessed by pulling a gem out in chapter 4 that I taught right over. So be prepared for a nice gem coming out of John chapter 4 on Thursday, all right?
Okay, that sounds good. Now you got me all anticipating. I'll probably go read it too.
Well, what it did, it explained something to me that, oh, I don't want to get into it now, but it just took the chapter to another level, and you'll see what I'm what I'm talking about. All right.
Okay. I know I read. What is it? I was supposed to read. Was it Numbers or Hebrews? Numbers.
Numbers 19.
Yeah. Yep. I read that today.
Okay.
Just so you know.
All right. You're an excellent student. You get A's all the time.
Well, I try. At least try for a B+.
Okay. And then we have Gigi and Randy. Any questions, any comments?
I just found that extremely interesting where he was explaining the word of knowledge with Jesus.
Yes.
And the woman at the well. I thought that I have never, ever heard anybody talk about that before. So that was really, really interesting. And a good example, too. But, I mean, it was fascinating what he was talking about. And there was one more thing. I'm trying to think of what it was. Oh, when he was talking about the difference between trials and temptations and
right.
And what was the other? I'm sorry, I can't think of what the other word was.
I don't know.
There were three. There was trials. Okay. Wasn't there three, Sharon?
Yeah.
I can't think of the third one.
All that's sticking in my mind is trials and temptations. Sister Kathy, do you have a third one?
Well, I was racking my brain, too. Tribulations, but I'm sure that wasn't it.
I don't know. Something else. I have to think about it. But anyway, it was just, it was really nice because those three things in particular, plus the taking communion, that was wonderful because we haven't done that in a long time. So that was really a good exhortation to be doing it. But did you have anything to say, Randy?
No, I was trying to think of what your third thing
was. Yeah, I'm sorry. I think I need to go back and maybe listen again to what he was saying. But that was good. It's always
tests, maybe. Yes.
No. I'll think about it. It was three things that I remember, but I can't remember the third one. Anyway, that was very good. But I would like to. We didn't get a chance to pray for his son Nate.
Yes.
So is it okay if I just pray
absolutely
for him?
Yes.
Yeah. So Lord, first of all, we just want to thank you and praise you for Pastor Fred. And it's so interesting what he is teaching us. And I just thank you, even tonight when you said Jesus wept and he thought it was because they didn't believe. And I've never heard that before, but that's really interesting. And so we just want to praise you and thank you for Pastor Fred. We want to pray protection over him, a hedge of protection over he and his family. And I want to pray again over his leg and his knee, that it would heal quickly and that he would be able to walk more. But we also just pray that all the pieces and parts, little pieces and parts in your leg, your vein system and the tendons and just the flesh part and veins everywhere, that all of that would be restored in the mighty name of Jesus. And we want to especially lift up Nate and pray that you would heal him and encourage him, Lord, and that there would be something that would help him to completely overcome this cancer. And we just pray for complete healing. And also I want to pray for he and Katie, that not only would you heal them, but that you would restore them and their bodies would be working properly so that they would heal themselves consistently and throughout all of these processes. And that the outreach on Saturdays that they do would reap a huge harvest, Lord. So we thank you so much. And we thank you that those people were baptized and coming to church. And it's more than just preaching the gospel. It's that they actually become disciples and follow you, Lord. So I just want to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Randy, do you want to add anything?
It was just a very good session. That's all I can say. I thought it was great.
It was encouraging, okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, it was excellent. It was really good. Really, really good. First Corinthians 10 was excellent. It was all excellent. Sister Kathy, any questions or comments?
No, I just agree too. It was just utmost Pastor Fred just doing a wonderful job. Go ahead and talk with Rita and the others, and then before it's over, I want to share something really, really special.
Okay. You're going to keep us in suspense. All right.
You know me.
Sister Rita.
I agree with Randy and Kathy that it was really a great teaching tonight from Pastor Fred, and I was well blessed.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. And then Sister Paula Jean.
Yes, I am in total agreement. I thank you, Father God, for Pastor Fred, and I thank you for the teaching that you give him for others. There's a special anointing and insight. He was talking about words of knowledge. He gives those in his teachings. As well as, of course, your scriptures with clarification. But the insight that you give him, Father, is beyond that of a standard teacher from your word. It truly is of inspired insight. He brings it to a greater understanding for application. And I just thank you for the faithfulness that you've given him. And I do pray for his family as well as himself for healing. And Father God, for extra blessings, Father. I just do pray that those that he's teaching in church, that they too are touched as we are and receive greater understanding, Father, of your heart from your word, and continue to become inspired in staying not only faithful, but reaching out to others as well, and maybe bringing some new people to hear Pastor Fred, that they too might be blessed. It's like I have been blessed to sometimes hear other teachers say of a pastor I'm under, best kept secret. But the thing is that my prayer is that it no longer be secret. The ones, Father, that are bringing such special teachings of yours, I do pray that the people that you want to receive and recognize and appreciate the blessings you give them and their teaching ability, that they hear, that they are able to receive those blessings that you so kindly endow some teachers with, and that those that are touched by their teaching are also able to be touched by the gifts, because they recognize the value of them. And so I think I'm speaking of the word of knowledge she was talking about earlier, how powerful they can be when someone is prayed for by someone that is gifted with that, that they recognize that you're speaking to them through that person, because they're speaking things of which only you have knowledge, Father. And so I'm speaking of that tonight because that's what he talked about, but it's not a rare thing to hear from Pastor Fred something that is truly important that you give to your people when they recognize and say, yes, Lord, please use me in that way too, if you so choose. And I think, Pastor Fred, when you teach, you inspire those kinds of outreaches to the Lord to just be gifted more and used more. And I think that is truly a gift that you carry, because you enable us to experience what God can do through a willing vessel. And I just thank you for being that kind of teacher that brings the inspiration to me to reach out to the Lord in that way. So thank you. And Lord, help him to understand what I'm saying, because I took a long time to say it, and I'm not too sure why, but I just hope that what's in my heart will touch him and he'll understand. And it's not anything to swell anybody up with. It's just a thank you for being used and touching my life tonight. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Very, very nice prayer, Sister Paula Jean. Now we have Joy here. Hello, Joy.
Oh, hello, Pastor John.
I'm glad you're here. I'm delighted that you're here.
Yeah. I was wondering, is Nate is Pastor Fred's son? The name is Nate?
Nate, yeah. Nathaniel, yes. Nate.
Oh, Daniel. Daniel's leg or Daniel's leg?
No, Nathaniel. Nathaniel.
Oh, Nathaniel. His leg needs to be healed?
Yeah, he has cancer in the liver.
Oh, I see. I want to pray for him.
Please, yes, go ahead.
Yeah.
Please.
Dear Lord, I thank you that you are the greatest healer. And we command in the name of Jesus all the cancer cells be destroyed. There's we decree that all the trauma, all the concerns in the spirit of fear depart from him. Thank you, God. You are the healer. You improve his immunity system. Thank you, God. And you heal his liver. Your blood purifies every cell, every liver cell. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. And give him peace. Oh, strengthen him. God, you created him. That is your temple. Your glory fill him. Your healing power fill him. And help him to walk strong in the faith. And give him the renew his liver. Help his liver, the good cells, the healthy cells, to be prosperous, to be strengthened. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you.
And just, I'm glad you mentioned about, I didn't listen to the teaching, but I heard words of knowledge. And this Thursday, me and two other brothers will minister to about 20 ladies at a church to give them like a word of knowledge or word of wisdom to encourage them. Yeah.
That, when was that? Sunday?
Thursday night. This Thursday.
Okay.
From 7 to 9 at a church to like outreach. Yeah.
Yeah, Father, we thank you how you're using Sister Joy, Lord. And so I'm asking that you would take her to new levels of glory with words of knowledge and helping people, Lord, winning souls. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. So, Lord, if you are using her for praying with people and you're giving her a word of knowledge, thank you for that, Lord. And I pray she would hear your voice and be right on, and the words of knowledge are blessings for people. So we praise you and thank you. Continue to use Joy now mightily for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Yes, Joy. Thank you for coming. All right, Sister Kathy. I'm. Come on now. Quick.
Well, that's perfect what Joy said, because it ties right into divine healing, miracles. And Ethan Otis Allen was considered the divine faith healer of America. He's the first one. And he touched and healed Sarah Mix, M-I-X, a black woman with tuberculosis and a morphine addiction. And Sarah worked with Ethan Allen, she and her husband, for a while. And then they started their own thing. And she met Carrie Judd through a letter situation. It was like the dad of Carrie Judd in Buffalo, New York, saw an article about Sarah Mix coming to a town in New York and healed people. And so Carrie became a healer, faith healer, and miracle worker. And her house in Oakland, California is still going on. But here's what the most amazing thing is, all of the references they gave was like, Carrie got inspired by reading a book by W.W. Patton. That is available on the internet. But tonight I found the newspaper article about it, and the one that Carrie's dad saw and got her healing. It's just so miraculous that these details are still available to see. And I'm just absolutely amazed. And it's just so inspiring to know we can see the very things that Mr. Judd laid his eyes on to cause his 20-year-old daughter to get her healing, to start her ministry that's still going on today.
Now, Sister Kathy, I need to know the time frame of it, because you said Ethan Allen. Is that Ethan Allen and the Green Mountain Boys from Vermont? And is this Civil War time? I mean, Revolutionary War time?
No. It's not quite that far back. excuse me. Ethan O. Allen is Ethan Otis Allen, They said make the distinction because it's not the war person.
Yeah, because that's what I focused when I heard Ethan Allen. I focused on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, zoomed you out of that. But it's just so incredible. And like I did a story today on Peter Cartwright and all of the things that the books he read and the people he talked about are still just deep in the internet, on the internet archives and things like that. So you can just pull these details out and just see the very same things that they, that inspired them and caused them to have what they have.
Sister Kathy, there's great power in the written word, isn't there?
Oh my goodness. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Just like Ann Judson was talking about, she read or heard a sermon or read a sermon that a man preached, the East Star, and it's just so wonderful. I can't tell you how awesome that layer is of being able to read the very thing that inspired them and brought them over the edge to get where they needed to be to do what God wanted them to do.
Wow. Wow.
So joy is falling right into the faith, divine healing, ministry, and just that passion and that power and that anointing. And she's right here on Abba Father International Ministry. It's just so awesome.
Amen. 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 Okay. Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord. It was an excellent night, Lord, from communion to the teaching and then we're being able to pray, Lord. We had some prayer here. But we thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. And, Lord, we're praying that everyone here. I missed this morning praying that we had a good week. Have a good week. So, Lord, I'm praying. I should do this on Monday nights also. But, Lord, I pray that this is the, well, Sunday technically is the first day of the week. But, Lord, we pray for that we have, all have a good week. Lord, that we do things according to your will, that you protect our coming and going, that you bless us, Lord. You know, sometimes we do things without really thinking, and it could get us in trouble. So we ask that you just watch over us in everything we do, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, Lord, we're getting into a little bit of a dark period of time here now with the left rising up because they have been shut out, Lord. They have very little power, and they are angry, Lord. There's an anger building up. And you've got them boxed in. They're like caged animals now, Lord. So we're praying that nothing will stop this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And, Lord, we've noticed, and we thank you, Lord, because we've noticed the amount of Muslims now that are coming to you, Lord. We watched that that video last night, and it's definite, Lord, definite. And I believe it's the spiritual atmosphere in America that's doing it. I don't hear reports like this anywhere else, Lord. Well, I mean, we've seen it in, with my own eyes, I've seen it in Pakistan. And I've seen the Hindus coming in great numbers. And in, Lord, yeah, we see what's going on in Sri Lanka with the Buddhists, Lord. And then in India with the Hindus, Bishop Reinhardt is greatly pleased by the amount of Hindus that are coming to you, Lord. So we thank you for all of that. So we want that same thing here now, that the spiritual atmosphere is being raised, Lord. And these, especially Muslims from Afghanistan, great numbers coming to you, Lord. Thank you. We want to see that spread nationwide, Lord. Nationwide, and then up into Canada, Lord, and down into Mexico and South and Central America, and all the ways over to China, Asia, Africa, Lord, even in Europe, Lord, a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We can't thank you enough. We thank you for our salvation, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we're so free here with your word, Lord. I thank you for that. We don't take this for granted. We all want to grow in the word. be mighty in the word, Lord. Mighty in the word. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We praise you and thank you, Lord. What a time to live, Lord. We pray for the nation of Israel. We pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Israel, Lord. We pray that there's obviously more war coming, Lord. This is just a slight respite, Lord, but there's no doubt that Hezbollah is going back to war and Iran is. Just a matter of when. Hezbollah has been kind of beaten down, Lord, but I think they're going to fight to the end. So, Lord, that may you bless Israel, protect Israel, Lord. And I pray that you will be glorified, Lord, through your little nation of Israel and doing mighty exploits. And the only explanation can be your blessing is with them, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Now, Lord, we also want to pray, and this here is going to need continual prayer. Lord, we're praying for what we call here the right wing, who has gone off the tracks, Lord, with their hatred for, outright hatred for Israel, the lies. They gravitate to lies. Anything, Lord, anything derogatory about Israel, they run with, Lord. If it's made up, they run with it. I've been following this, Lord. I've been watching them. And then they're acting exactly like the left here. Like anything that was said against Trump, they would believe it, they would promote it. And then when it was found out to be not true, they would ignore it, like just like they said nothing, and they move on to the next lie and disinformation. I've seen that. They're doing the same thing here now, Lord, with Israel. I've seen it now. Saying outrageous things, and then it's proven false, and they move on to the next one. That's slander and a lying spirit, Lord. And it says you hate slander, Lord. False witnesses that speak lies. So, Lord, we praise you and thank you now. But I'm asking for the protection of America. I'm praying that this outpouring of the Holy Spirit will lock this thing up, Lord. This slandering spirit against Israel will be bound, Lord, and it can't metastasize. That's what we're asking for, Lord. Please, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you now. In Jesus' name, I ask these things. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, amen. Chaplain John?
Yes, Sister Sharon.
Yes, I just wanted to refresh your memory. You asking or saying that today, this morning, was the start of a blessed week. You did say that.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, well, it's a double blessing now.
Yeah.
Now, Sister Sharon, I have got to educate you. You need an education, all right? Are you ready?
Okay.
Do you know how long ago this morning was to me?
Oh my goodness, probably at least a week.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, and last Monday you said it again in the morning too, so.
Yeah, there you go. I don't remember this morning, Mr. Sharon.
Yeah.
So yeah, it could have been a week ago.
I had to come in and tell you, when you said that, I said, nope, I got to make sure he knows that he said that this morning.
All right. So it's a double blessing for the week.
Yep,
all right, Sister Sharon, would you lead us for prayer, please?
Yes, I will. So, dear Father God, I do thank you for tonight and all day today. And I am just so grateful to be part of Abba Father International, to be able to come here and to pray, to listen to the prayers that are being lifted up for all of us, dear Father God. And it is always such a joy to be here, to hear Pastor Fred, to hear Dave Hauser, just everybody, and especially Chaplain John, when he's preaching and teaching and praying. It is a joy to listen to him pray. And I just pray for his health and well-being. And I pray for everybody who is a part of Abba Father International and everybody who's out there listening and want to be a part of Abba Father. All they have to do is call in at 717-409, I think, 5553.
Yeah, that's it.
406.
No, 409.
Yeah, 409-5553. And that you come in and listen at Uber Conference, and you could be part of the group, or you could just listen off of Facebook, a link to Abba Father International on Facebook, and you can hear the prayer. You can hear everybody praying, that you don't even have to do any of that to believe in God. You know, you just tell God that you need him, you believe in him, you are sorry for everything you've done in your life, and you want salvation, and you ask our Father God for that. You want to repent of everything you've done, and you want to go to heaven when you leave this world. And that's what we all want, dear Father God, is we want to be with you. We want to be with our like-minded Christian friends and be in heaven with them and with you. And I just pray, dear Father, that we have this happen very soon. I know we're all thinking that the rapture is going to happen soon, but that is only what you know. That date and time is only known by you. And I know, dear Father God, that you will be helping us get out of here very, very soon. And we just need to pray for everybody around the world. We need to pray for the peace and calmness of all the countries and all the states and areas. And like with New York right now, we need to really be praying for New York and other places like that. And I just want to say thank you, dear Father God, that we can pray. And I just want to say thank you to Sister Kathy for her doing her out of history and into today, or whatever that word is that she uses. I'm so thankful for that and for everything that everybody's doing to further our biblical knowledge and our wanting to learn more. And in your name, I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
John?
Yeah, I heard of John. And yes, Gigi.
Yes. Randy wanted to pray for the Marines. It's the 250th anniversary.
Today.
Oh, 1775.
Yeah.
They were the Marines before we were a country.
They went after those Barbary pirates. Yeah. But I just pray for the Marines.
Sure, Please, yes.
I pray for the strength of their mission. I pray for their strength. And I am thankful for their courage. But I pray for the whole military, from the Coast Guard to the Navy to the Air Force to the Marines to the National Guards. We pray for them, and that they'll be successful, but they'll also be brought to Christ, that they will become believers in Jesus.
Yes, and their protection too. Pray for their protection.
And their protection. Amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And I was going to say, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you finish, please.
No, I was just going to say, because tomorrow is Armistice Day.
Yeah, that was the war to end all wars.
Right.
John?
Yes.
They now call it Veterans Day, but I still like Armistice Day, because it was at 11 a.m.
Right.
On the 11th month.
Yes.
On the 11th day.
Yes.
But it wasn't 1911, but other than that, it was all 11.
1918. That was the war to end all wars. That's what they said. Yeah, so Gigi, there was something you were going to say?
Well, no, I was going to say, so can we remember to pray for them?
Oh, okay.
No.
Randy, one story, since you brought up the Marines, one famous incident about the Marines. Can I share it?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
It's when the Marines landed in World War One in France. Well, it wasn't only the Marines, but the French wouldn't let us fight because they wanted us under the French command. And President Woodrow Wilson would not allow that. They had to fight under the American command, and that would be General Pershing. His nickname was Black Jack Pershing. So the American army sat in France with a standoff between the French and the Americans until the Germans made this big push, and they were breaking through the defensive lines heading towards Paris. So the French begged us come in and save them. And the French army was in retreat, and the Germans were coming, running them out back to Paris. So the American Marines were the first to meet the Germans, and the French general told this American colonel, run, the Germans are coming. So the American colonel said, run heck, he goes, we just got here.
John?
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah, yes.
You know, the First World War lasted for about 5 years, starting in 1914.
Yes.
But a lot of the school kids, including myself, didn't learn that the U.S. didn't get into it until like about a year and a half left, right?
Yeah. Here's the story. We can stay a little late to pray. Here's what happened, and we had no intention of getting into World War One. It was a European war, and we saw the absolute bloodletting. The amount of deaths was incredible. But the Germans, it's called the Zimmermann, anyways, he was the German foreign minister, and he sent this memorandum to the Mexicans saying that if America comes into the war, if you fight America, we'll, at the end of the war, we'll give you Texas and California, and you can have all that back.
Wow. So
the British gave that. Zimmermann telegram. That's what it was called. So Woodrow Wilson got it. He went to into Congress, and the Congress declared war on Germany. That's how we got in it.
Mm.
So that was April of 1917, and we had virtually no army. And in a matter of a little more than a year, we raised an army of 2 million soldiers. 2 million.
Wow.
And built ships at the same time and shipped them all over to Europe. 2 million soldiers in like a year and 3 months, 4 months. It was incredible.
Wow.
And most of them were draftees, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, or they might have enlisted too, but yeah. And they were young. So when the Germans met the American Marines, the American Marines, one of the things, they were trained in sharpshooting, and they were devastating. Two or three divisions, the Marines tore up German divisions and stopped the advance to Paris. So as a result of the Marines' actions, the Germans call them devil dogs, Schwein. That was their nickname, devil dogs.
Wow.
So, yeah, the Marines were fierce in World War One and World War Two.
John? But,
yes, Randy.
Some people believe that the Spanish flu, the big flu that broke out in 1918. Pushed everybody towards peace. Did you ever hear that story?
Not really. Not really.
Yeah.
Because it was more, I think, Randy, I think it was more 1919. It was like the year after the war was over.
Started. Oh, I thought it was 1918.
Well, here's what happened. it actually started in Kansas, in a military base in Kansas, and then it disappeared. It disappeared for quite a while, and then it came roaring back in Philadelphia and then spread all over the world. But it started here in America.
But, John, it was called the Spanish flu because during the First World War, most of the countries had censorship or whatever suppressed the news, but Spain had an open press, and even though they had lower incidence of the flu, since they advertised it, it was called the Spanish flu.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Sister Kathy, would you lead us in prayer, please? Thank you. I don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't know when to get into the history, but I tell you why I do it. Because Sister Sharon likes it. Were you interested in Sister Sharon and what I had to say about World War One? Yes, Sharon? All right. Anyway.
Of course she was. Yeah. She would never say no.
Go ahead,
but
Sister
Kathy. She does. She loves it. So thank you, God, so much for this night. Thank you for your goodness and mercy. Thank you for your peace that passes all understanding. Thank you that you never leave us or forsake us. And though our mother could leave us, you never would. Though the sun could never stop shining, Lord, until you say stop, Lord, that is how your love is from everlasting to everlasting, eternal. Oh, dear Lord, we have such a wonderful Father. We are such blessed children. And Lord, the good news is trouble comes, but you keep us from trouble, or the trouble will send us straight to you one way or another. Live or die, we will be with you. And Father, I just thank you for all the scripture. The word is forever settled in heaven, and you're watching over it to perform it. And Lord, you've got everything we need. Every bit of information is covered in the Bible. And there's a solution, there's an answer, there's a promise or a parable or a concept in the Bible for anything that would ever need to be dealt with in the world. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for Times Square Church starting the Fulton Street type revival again in 2026. Lord, we are on the precipice of the next great awakening.
Amen,
the renewal,
Lord.
The refreshing, and we are knowing that word is true. You said it. It's declared. It's going to happen. But Lord, we're just so thankful. We're thankful for everything you've done, everything you're doing, and everything you have planned for us. And Lord, I just ask you to bless Chaplain John. Thank you. Thank you for him. Thank you for this ministry. Thank you for all the blessings that have come to him because of being faithful, and all the blessings he's been able to pour out on us because of his obedience. And Lord, I pray for the meeting he'll be going to tomorrow. And thank you. Thank you that Sharon will be able to man the station here on this dial pad. And just, Lord, as she said, anybody that can come in, Lord, would be so welcome. But we thank you for the faithful few that hold up the bloodstained banner. We thank you for Nana, Debbie, Lord, and Desmond, and all the people, Bob in Vancouver, and all of the people that are just there praying and interceding. And Lewis, Lord, I was so hoping he would get to come in and talk with us again. And Dave and Willie, and just bless again Pastor Fred and Steve and Larry. He had hoped to be in tonight, so I don't know if he was or not, but bless Larry and help in all his vigiling at the clinics, Lord, and thank you, thank you. And all the people that have been so inspired, thank you for Gigi and Randy, Lord, and Eve and Henry, and bless Bobby as he is such a good caregiver to Sharon, Lord, and he's learned so much, and he recognizes when something's not right and alerts somebody to check on it. And just thank you. Thank you for him making it possible for her to be there to recover at home. And Lord, I pray for Paula Jean and Richard and Lisa, Lord, and just bless them and help them and touch them and minister to them. And we pray for Pastor Dove and Suzanne and Jakob for him doing the program with Chaplain John and Pastor Dove. Just thank you, thank you, thank you. There's so many things to pray for. I do want to lift up Mary Mosley, Steve Joy. Thank you again for Joy. And just all of the people that are part and parcel of this ministry. And Lord, we just give you glory, praise, and thanks, and we worship you in spirit and in truth. And thank you for the legacy that is left, Lord, that we can trace and we can see and hold in our hands the very books that were written by missionaries and evangelists and lay people. And it's just so awesome to see the record that thank you, God, is left. It wasn't destroyed, and it's put on digital recovery programs. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Forgive us of our sins. Open our eyes to see great and awesome things in your word. And we give you praise, honor, thanks, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. We have, I'm going to close with one story for you, Sister Kathy. All right.
Okay.
History story. We have Rita here. Rita, would you like a prayer in closing?
Oh, okay. So you want me to, okay, we'll do. Okay, wait just a minute if you will. Okay. Father, I thank you, Father, that you hear our prayers. And if we ask anything in your son's name, the Lord Jesus Christ, you will give it to us, Father. And Father, if it wasn't for you, Father, Satan would have destroyed me. I thank you for loving me when I wasn't worthy to be loved, Father. And I thank you, Father, for blessing me. And thank you, Father, for you are worthy to be praised, my Father in heaven. Father, I pray, Father, for America. I pray that you would forgive, heal, and have mercy on America, which we do not deserve, Father. We are a sinful nation, Father, but you are very merciful to us. Father, I pray for the people or for the women that has been involved in abortions. I pray for I pray for the people that are trapped in pornography and transgenderism and homosexualism, Father. I pray for these poor souls that are in torment, Father. And I pray that they will repent, every single person, Father, that is trapped in these sinful lifestyles will come to the knowledge of your Son, and that they would turn away from these sinful lifestyles, Father. And I pray, Father, that you stop Islam that is marching across America, Father. And I pray for all the Muslims that live in America that they will repent to come to the saving knowledge of your Son. And I pray, Father, that you will give a burning desire in the hearts of Christians
across America to witness to these Muslims. And also, Father, I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in America, in our colleges, and in our college campuses, Father. Father, I also hold up Israel to you. I pray that you put a hedge of protection around her and give her peace, Father. And I pray for every single Jew that lives in Israel, Father, that they will repent from the wicked secular ways and come to the saving knowledge of your Son. And Father, I also pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Israel. And Father, I also pray for Prime Minister Netanyahu. I pray that you will guide and direct him in all of his decisions, Father, that he makes for Israel. Also protect him, encourage him, strengthen him, and comfort him, Father. And I also ask, Father, for the saving knowledge of Netanyahu and his wife, that they will repent and come to the saving knowledge of your Son. Bless their marriage. Bless their children, Father. And also pray for the IDF, Father. I pray that you will. I pray for every single IDF soldier in Israel, that they will. I pray for every IDF soldier that they will repent and come to the saving knowledge of your Son before it is too late, Father. And Father, I also pray for Mike Huckabee. I pray that he will be a blessing to Israel. And keep Mike Huckabee, Father, close to you and your Son. And also, Father, bless his wife and his children. And Father, I pray for President Trump. And Father, you have blessed us with President Trump. Keep him safe, encourage him, and comfort him, and strengthen him, Father. And put a hedge of protection around him. And I pray that President Trump will love you and your Son more with each passing day. And that that you will open up his eyes, that he will see where his strength comes from. And that is from you, Father. And I pray for the salvation of Melania, that she would come to the saving knowledge of your Son. Father, I kind of think she's Catholic. And I pray that you will open up her eyes to the wickedness and the deceitfulness of the Catholic Church. And I pray this also for J.D. Vance and his wife, Usha. And I also ask that they will come to the saving knowledge of your Son, Father. Show them how sinful and corrupted the Catholic Church is. And Father, I also hold up Chaplain John to you. Encourage and comfort and strengthen him, and guide and direct him in all of his in all that he does. And I pray that you will help him with his preparation of his teachings and the new brochures that he's working on, Father. Bless and anoint all his brochures that has gone out and those that he still has. And that many, Father, will come to the saving knowledge of your Son, and many hearts would be healed. And Father, I pray for the Auburn Father Fellowship, all of them, Father, pastors, and I pray that you would encourage, strengthen, and guide and direct these pastors, that you would bless their churches, and that you would provide food, water, clothing, and shelter to these poor churches, Father. And I also pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in each and every Abba Father Fellowship Church. Father, I pray for Charlie
Kirk's wife. I pray for his children, his parents, his siblings, and also his Erica's siblings and her parents. And I pray for everyone, Father, that worked with him on a daily basis, that you will heal their broken hearts and their broken spirits, and that you would strengthen all of these people I mentioned, Father, in the coming days. Comfort, encourage each and every one, Father. And also, Father, I pray for the hostages, to the Israeli, all of the Israelis hostages. Heal their broken hearts, heal their broken spirits, and their broken minds, Father. Strengthen, encourage, and comfort each and every one. And I also ask, Father, that each and every hostage, is Israeli hostage, that they would come to the saving knowledge of your Son. And I pray that they will realize that it was you, Father, that got them out of that horrible situation that they were in Gaza, Father. And Father, I pray that you would put stumbling blocks in Mardani, the mayor of New York, that you would put stumbling blocks in his way, that his term as mayor of New York City will not be a successful one, Father, and that whatever he does would turn against him. And I do pray, Father, for the salvation of his soul, that he will repent and come to the saving knowledge of your Son as his Savior. I pray, Father, that you stop Mardani. And Father, I also pray that, I pray, Father, for Pastor Fred, that you would heal and strengthen his leg and knee, heal and strengthen his body and mind, and comfort and encourage him, Father. And Father, I pray for Katie and Nat. I pray that you would heal his heal the liver and his cancer. And for Katie, I think her bowels, something's wrong with her bowels. And I ask that you heal this for Katie. I pray that you strengthen these two people, comfort them and encourage them and heal them, Father. And Father, I pray that, I pray for everyone, Father, that is online tonight. I pray that you will encourage, comfort, and strengthen everybody, Father, their minds and their spirits, and that they will love you and your Son more with each passing day. For I pray this all, Father, in the holy and glorious name of my Lord, my Savior, and my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. Paula Jean, if you have something to say here in closing, something to pray here in closing.
Just, Father God, continue your blessings of this ministry and all of those that are serving you through it as an extension and outreach to other places, churches, and the broadcast that goes out from Dove and Pastor Don that they're working on. Please bless them as they pull that together and make sure they include what you want included. And I pray continued protection of our health and properties and just a close walk with you so that we walk where you want us to walk and have the thoughts you want us to have, and just help us to be ever closer and easier to use by you, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. To bring
amen.
Joy.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And Joy, do you have a word of prayer in closing?
Yes. Dear Lord, the Holy Spirit, we ask your grace and mercy. Build us up in the most holy faith. We thank you that may your fire, the fresh fire and the fresh wind upon this land, upon America, and upon Israel, upon all the land, so that your glory, like the world, is full of your glory and the knowing of the Abba Father's love and the knowledge of the most holy God. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Wonderful. Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. This is a great night. Thank you for everybody that prayed. And we'll be we don't stream tomorrow morning. I'm at the Tuesday morning prayer time, but then tomorrow night we will have Bible study. And Sister Sharon, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. Now, Sister Kathy, yep. You mentioned Ethan Allen, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But you didn't say,
Otis Allen.
Otis, right. Well, the original Ethan Allen was from Vermont, New Hampshire. And he had his militia, I guess you would call it, during the American Revolution. They referred to it as Ethan Allen and the Green Mountain Boys. I think Vermont in French means green, I think. Mm-hmm. And so the mountains there, they're very greenish looking, and they call them Vermont. You know, that's why they call Vermont Vermont. So anyways, he was going to attack Fort Ticonderoga, which is upstate New York. It's a massive fort built like in the 1750s with huge, big guns on it overlooking Lake Champlain. So Ethan Allen, Benedict Arnold found out about it. Now, Benedict Arnold was a great general. He was a great leader of men, but he was a mercenary, and he went with the British. You know, he became a traitor, but he was a great general. So Benedict Arnold ended up kind of leading the attack, and they got in early in the morning, like at 2 in the morning. The British sentries were asleep. And they went in, and they didn't kill anyone. They just went in there, and they took over the fort. And Benedict Arnold went to where the commandant was, the general over the fort, and busted into his room and demanded that he surrender. So the general said to Benedict Arnold, "By what authority do you demand my surrender?" So he said, "By the Continental Congress and the great Jehovah."
Oh, wonderful.
So he surrendered. They surrendered the fort to Benedict Arnold and Ethan Allen. And then they took all those big guns in January, it was. February, they took all those big guns out of Fort Ticonderoga and got them down to Boston. It was an incredible event to do that, and they put the guns up on the heights overlooking Boston. So the British woke up one morning and they saw these big guns trained on their ships, and they literally jumped in the ships and took out of Boston Harbor, and they left all their guns and ammunition and supplies there. But the problem was, it was a bluff. They didn't have any, they didn't bring any ammunition with them. So there you go. That's Ethan.
Genius.
That's
genius
Ethan.
Genius strategy.
Yeah, they bluffed them. So you got Ethan Allen and the Green Mountain Boys and Benedict Arnold, and the British surrendered the fort under the name of the Great Jehovah.
And how different we would be right now if those things didn't happen just
yeah,
like that.
Everything fits together. All right. God bless everybody.
You too. And see y'all tomorrow.
All right. Bye now. Bye. Oh, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and amen.
Oh, God. blazing flame.
Send the fire.
Your blood-bought gift, today we claim.
Send.